coming up on Philosophy Talk.
You can't treat the working man this way.
The fairness fixation.
One day we'll form a union and get the fair and equitable treatment we deserve. Then we'll go too far and get corrupt and shiftless, and the Japanese will eat us alive.
Should all social arrangements really aim to be fair and just?
You know it ain't right to treat me like you do.
Isn't it nice to finally display your accomplishments, son?
Is it fair that the fastest runner wins the race?
Honey, look at all your awards. That's great.
He's my champion.
Well, I didn't know they made ninth place ribbons.
Oh, Jack, they got him all the way up to 10th place.
Doesn't an obsessive concern with fairness lead to universal mediocrity?
Our guest is Stephen Asma, author of Against Fairness, In Favor of Favoritism.
The Fairness Fixation, coming up on Philosophy Talk. Welcome to Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence. I'm John Perry.
And I'm Ken Taylor. We're here at the studios of KALW San Francisco.
We're continuing conversations that begin at Stanford University, at Philosopher's Corner, where Ken and I profess philosophy.
And today we're talking about the fairness fixation.
Fixation? Are you trying to suggest, Ken, that we're too concerned with fairness?
We've gone way overboard with this fairness thing, John. We give every kid a medal just for running a race, robs the race of any meaning, and discourages kids from developing the drive to succeed and win.
Well, what does that have to do with fairness exactly?
Well, let me ask you, do you think it's fair that some people are born rich and while others are born dirt poor?
No, I don't think that's fair at all. And we take account of that. We believe everyone's equally entitled to at least a minimally decent life. That's why we ask the rich to pay more taxes than the poor, so we can at least smooth things out and make them a bit fairer.
And okay, and do you think it's fair that some get a good education while others get a really lousy education?
No, I don't think that's fair at all. I think every kid is equally deserving of a good education. That's a matter of fairness, too.
Well, so, John, just apply your own logic and see where it leads for a second. If every kid is equally deserving of a good education just in virtue of being a kid, and every person is equally deserving of a minimally decent life just in virtue of being, I don't know, a person, well, doesn't it follow that every kid deserves a medal just for running the race?
That is absurd reasoning.
That's right. I'm glad you agree. Our fixation with fairness inevitably leads to the absurd conclusion that we should always treat people equally. I'm glad you agree, John.
No. You didn't get my point at all. It's your reasoning that's absurd. Let me make some distinctions for you that might help even you see things a bit more clearly.
Okay, I'm all ears, John.
Well, look, we got to distinguish three different things people mean by fair. Related, but different. There's fairness as equality of outcome. Everybody gets the same. There's fairness as equality of opportunity. Everybody gets the same chance. And there's fairness as just desserts. Everybody gets what they deserve.
Well, those are fine distinctions, but I don't see why they're relevant to my reasoning.
Because when people like you complain about too much fairness, they're usually, almost always, mixing apples and oranges like you just did.
Oh, come on. How so?
Well, you were using one notion of fairness to criticize a different notion of fairness. It can be perfectly fair in the sense of just desserts. Fairness is getting what you deserve. That only the winner gets the medal, because only the winner deserves the medal, as long as the race was fair in a different sense of everybody having an equal opportunity, everybody having the same chance, everybody starts at the same time. So you see, it doesn't logically follow that if you're committed to one version of fairness, you necessarily end up giving everybody a medal.
No, okay, I get your point. But, you know, I still think you're missing something, John. You seem to believe that it's a kind of default. People automatically deserve to be treated equally, and anything that isn't equal treatment, well, that has to be morally justified. Do I have you right?
Yeah, I thought I learned that from Kant and you. Take two employees at the same company, doing the same job, with the same level of expertise. Surely, they deserve equal pay for their equal work.
Well, why, though? Why?
Because unless one is a better worker, more dedicated, more efficient, or more productive, it's downright unfair to pay one more than the other.
But what if one of them happens to be my son or my best friend? Wouldn't it be acceptable for me to pay him just a little bit more, even if he wasn't a better worker?
No, we have a word for that. That's outright nepotism.
Well, what's wrong with a little nepotism, John?
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding. We're all a little nepotistic in our heart of hearts. I actually think that's a good thing. I mean, consider a parallel situation. Suppose two people are drowning. You can save exactly one of them, but one of them is your wife. The other is a perfect stranger. Now, who do you save, John?
Well, my wife, of course.
Well, of course. And if some do-gooder came along and said, no, you got to weigh up their virtues and vices, or you got to flip a fair coin, you'd say, bug off, because some people just matter more to us. Fairness be darned.
Well, fairness may not apply to all situations, but the point is, partiality has its limits, too. Fairness has a demand on us, and nepotism is flat-out wrong despite your lame attempt to defend it. I mean, what if it was a black guy and a white guy drowning in that sea of yours? Would it be morally acceptable for some prejudiced white guy to save the white guy because he was white and he happened to be more partial to whites than blacks?
No, I think that would be taking partiality just a bit too far.
Well, to test that point, we sent our roving philosophical reporter Natalie Jones out to take a look at the pros and cons of nepotism. Close up, she files this report.
When we talk about nepotism, we usually mean something bad.
He's my nephew.
What? What?
Luke is my nephew.
Michael, that's nepotism. Luke is getting special treatment because he's your nephew.
Yes, exactly. That is a very nice way of putting it, Oscar. Mixing family and business is a beautiful thing.
The employees on the TV show The Office were not convinced. But maybe nepotism isn't all that bad.
We disapprove of adultery. Theft, murder, all the things that are listed as bad in the Ten Commandments, and yet people continue to do them. They obviously feel they have a compelling reason when they commit these acts. And the same thing applies to nepotism.
Adam Bello wrote a book called In Praise of Nepotism. He looks at why we do it and argues that it isn't always a bad thing. And he has some personal experience.
I am actually a pretty good example myself of the new nepotism, because my father was a famous novelist and I work in the publishing industry.
His father is the Nobel Prize-winning writer Saul Bellow. And while Adam Bellow says he didn't get any professional help from his dad, he did become interested in the industry in part from watching his dad's career. That's what he calls the new nepotism. Kids deciding for themselves they want to follow in a parent's footsteps rather than being pushed into a job. And Bellow says it's not just a social phenomenon. It's in our genes, too. It's how our societies are organized.
Nepotism is the thing that makes nature work. All species in nature are engineered to prefer their relatives. As long as people are going to do it anyway, we may as well encourage them to do it properly.
That means making sure family businesses still function smoothly and everyone works hard, even if some people have a leg up. Sometimes that advantage might even make people work harder.
They receive the reward of being related to you first, but that isn't enough. They have to then demonstrate that they deserve the benefit that they've received through nepotism.
It would be best to have the same clarity and expectations for everyone, family members and non-family members.
Nora Wolfson is a business consultant and licensed therapist. She works with companies to make sure they treat employees well. And in her experience, employers need to be aware that they might be unconsciously treating family members differently.
The likelihood is that there'll be some things in the relationships among those family members that they have blind spots around. And very often, those things will actually trump common sense and rationality.
Sometimes those blind spots mean that employees outside the family may be treated unfairly, given fewer advantages. Or at least they could perceive the situation that way. In that case, Wolfson recommends addressing the situation, but focusing on the business side of things rather than the personal. She recently heard about a situation where a company hired a partner's girlfriend. The other partner didn't think it was working out, but was having a hard time bringing it up.
I would counsel him to talk about it from a business perspective rather than to say, you know, your girlfriend comes in late and it makes me mad, or I don't like her attitude.
Wolfson says people might have a hard time hearing personal criticisms of someone they're close to, but would be more open to hearing an argument about how their behavior is hurting the business.
I in no way do I advocate that we should just embrace nepotism and give up the attempt to have a meritocratic society. I think that is very, very important.
Adam Bellow doesn't believe that nepotism is the only way. But maybe we don't have to pretend that it doesn't happen and can admit that it's not all bad.
People really enjoy doing favors for friends and relatives. It feels good. It doesn't seem like a bad thing. It's not like sneaking off to the track after lunch instead of going back to your job. It gives you a warm feeling.
For Philosophy Talk, I'm Natalie Jones.